This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
In the evening with Lynn and Kelvin, and prompted by an article in The Guardian that talked about toxic schools, or whether or not that should be a part of how you decide what school to send your kids to, whether or not teachers are overworked or in a toxic work environment. We just wondered, how do you pick it all? You know, how do you balance all those different aspects? So tell us, you know, how did you select your kids' schools? Just how did your parents select for you? Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
We're crossing over now to Datin Noor Azima Abdul Rahim, the chairperson of the Parent Action Group for Education, or PAGE. Datin Azima, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Pleasure, thank you.
So how do parents go about assessing what type of school or education would be the best fit for their child? What are some of the important questions to ask?
Well, I think for now, what's toxic at the moment is the haze.
That's very true.
And I think as long as you live in the lower half of Malaysia, you can't do it much about it. I think in the end, it's really the neighborhood school would be everyone's first choice. Because we know for a long time ago, a lot of schools in the cities were moved, you know, so that school neighborhoods would have their own schools. And it's also, and if that's not first choice, then it will probably your what you will pick is probably be what medium of instruction you want your child to be schooled in, and probably also. What kind of a budget do you have?
With that said, though, do you think that the academic track record, or you know, how well students tend to do in exams, is that still an important deciding factor for many?
Yes, I think so. I think we can't run away from that. That's only being Asian, but the ministry doesn't rank schools anymore. So in the end, it's really about what you read about the school in media, and most definitely what you know, existing parents, current parents, or past parents say about the school. And I think this is the determining factor, because in the end, the school really, the culture of the school really reflects the neighborhood, because. You know, the children are from that neighborhood, and they will naturally influence the culture of the school.
And having said that, right, just on that line about culture and also academic excellence, has that list expanded for parents over the years as to what they're looking when they are looking for a school?
Well, I think it's also about how co-curriculum is conducted. It's also about maybe what awards has the school won in co-curriculum, and also I suppose the influence of parents over the school. For instance, if you have a neighborhood where the parents are professionals, then you would expect the students to have probably a more exposed upbringing. You know, and this is an important factor.
Well, you know, you were saying there about how, to a degree, parents have that impact. Have you seen schools adapting to the changing demands of parents and their children?
I think there has been some influence, because in the end, you still have the PIBG, which is a very important factor in the equation. And it also, I mean, how the school is run and how it performs, it also reflects how active the PIBG is. And aside from PIBG, you also have the parents supporting the PIBG. So in the end, it is... it does have an influence. And if the school leader is... sees the benefit of this, then definitely the school leader will want in, and this will you know, influence the outcome of how the school will perform academically as well as non-academically.
Are schools in Malaysia striking a balance between cultivating good culture and academic performance? Is this important?
Yes, I think so. But I think more importantly also, which the public in general and educators have a concern about is unity in schools. And I think there's a lot of effort been made to ensure that, kids are open to diversity in schools and that the segregation is limited. So I think not so much. I think we've come a long way. Although academic performance is important, there are also other non-academic factors which need to be considered.
At this point in time, I mean, and I'm thinking of stories that I've heard here from parents in other countries of younger children, countries like Singapore and Hong Kong, where there is a certain level of competition and a degree of competition in terms of which school do you get to go to, even at a younger age. Are you finding this stress creeping into parents here in Malaysia as well? Is that something that's beginning? Is it something that exists?
I suppose it happens because parents are a lot more affluent now and they have greater expectations. So this is, I suppose, a natural thing to expect. But on the other hand, I think parents also realize that this is not all important. Not everything needs to be learned in school. There's a lot to be learned at home as well. So child grows is also dependent on what values the parents bring from home.
And we've been speaking about the interests and the focus of parents so far. So how would you and do you include the needs of interests of your child when deciding which school works for them? Should children take a more active role in deciding where to go?
Yeah, I think one good thing that some kindergartens do is that they take the students for a visit to the neighbourhood national school. And I think this is good because it helps the child to have an idea of what a proper school is and whether or not the child is open to such an environment. I think this is something that all kindergartens should do, and I think the national school should be everyone's first choice.
Datin Azima, thank you so much for that perspective.
Thank you very much.
That was Datin Nur Azima Abdul Rahim, the chairperson of the Parent Action Group for Education, or PAGE, weighing in on this rather knotty subject, I suppose, about how to choose a school for your child. I mean, going beyond the fact of, I suppose, mere geography, right? If you have that choice, if you have the privilege to make that choice, then what are the different aspects that would go into it? What are the different things that you need to consider? Is it just pure academic performance? Does culture matter? Weigh in, let us know, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Chris, for example, says on Twitter, how my parents chose the school I attended, hearsay.
I think that was also the same process for my parents as well. They didn't necessarily go to the school, attend the interviews and attend the open days that some of them would have had. And they said, well, I heard from my friends this is a good school, so we're just going to take you there because I trust my friends' recommendations.
Yeah, I was going to say that that's also something that Datin Nur Azima mentioned, that more often than not, it's just word of mouth, right?
Yeah.
Parents telling parents. Although, I mean, I was interested in talking about this because even from my own perspective of having gone to two separate schools on the primary level and the secondary level, and also seeing the difference for my sister, who really did not have the best time in the world when she was in a very, very, very performance-driven school. And her performance suffered because of that competitive, difficult environment. And when she was put in a school that valued, I suppose that is in a way, the kind of school that gives out medals for participation, you know, that sort of, that had that kind of more inclusive culture, her academic performance thrived. So I think culture sometimes gets underrated in view of how well, in lieu of, I suppose, more cutthroat performances, cutthroat schools.
Yeah, and it does leave the kids wanting for more sometimes if they lack, say, a considerable amount of extracurricular activities, right? Because that's sometimes where talent is scouted, for example, if you happen to be really good at a particular sport, but that school doesn't have it and you have no other avenue of doing it. Of course, we can't expect schools to achieve everything, but that is where, you know, some of the stars are really discovered.
Nimalan says, unfortunately, in a country like Malaysia, education is not seen as a basic human right. So the rich get to send their kids to international or private schools, while the poor or middle class are stuck with government schools. No matter which government school we choose over reasons like good headmaster, exam results, etc., at the end of the day, it doesn't matter because the education system is the problem.
Yeah, and that should be part and parcel of the discussion as to how we want, you know, while we do want national schools to be the first choice, but if they're not appealing simply because they're lacking in quality, they're lacking in all other areas, then, you know, it's a hard choice for parents who can choose and who can afford to choose other options to go for national schools as number one.
Yeah, I think there's also a conversation to be had there about whether, because we're talking about government schools as if they can never change, or as if what they are today is what they have always been, which is not the case. I think, especially in more affluent areas, you are seeing government schools adapting and changing to the times. So it's not as if just because it's always been a certain way, it will always be. I don't think we have to accept those terms. But keep those thoughts coming. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.